All right, and welcome back to The View from the Fourth Row. I am Mr. Fourth Row, and today on this particular podcast, I have the host of the Suplex Party, one of the wrestlers in my area, Big Gun Justin Andrews. Justin, how you doing?
I am doing great. Happy to be here and just happy to be on the podcast.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate this. So, hey, let's start at the beginning. So how did you get involved in this crazy world of professional wrestling? Did you watch it as a youngin'? And if so, who were your, like, people that you watched, you know, all that kind of stuff?
So wrestling wasn't super popular in my household, at least not with my parents. But my great-grandpa always watched wrestling, and he lived in South Dakota. I was born and raised in Montana. So we would go to South Dakota every summer and, you know, a couple times a year. And I just had these vivid memories of watching my great-grandpa watch wrestling. And that was the only time you'd ever get excited, because he was a very stoic individual. So that always kind of impressed upon me. And then I watched it when I could until I was a little bit older, and then really the Monday Night Wars started, and I was a young teenager. And that's when I really, really got hooked on it. And I got involved in tape trading, and I was seeing stuff from Japan and Mexico. So, that's sort of how I became a fan of wrestling anyway.
Okay. This is just a personal inquiry of mine. Where in South Dakota?
So my mom's side of the family is from Spearfish.
Okay.
Spearfish, Belfouche area. And then my dad's side of the family is from Rapid City.
Okay. All right. And that's where my mom's side of the family is from, Rapid City, Igloo / and Roscoe area.
Right.
Okay. So yeah. All right. Cool. Very cool. Got a little crossing the family paths here for you and me. So you said, so you got into it with like the Monday Night Wars, kind of, era. So do you any favorites or any kind of memorable stuff that kind of, sticks in your head?
So as soon as the NWO became like a big pop culture phenomenon, I really started watching it, and I really latched on to Sting because I had watched Sting as a kid. My great grandpa was a big NWA fan, because that was quote unquote real, as opposed to the cartoony stuff that WWF was coming out with at the time. So I always liked Sting. I had always liked Macho Man Randy Savage, even when the Mega Powers exploded and he turned into a bad guy, I still liked him. So those were kind of my two main guys. And then there was a wrestler who unfortunately has passed away now and was paralyzed in a match, but in Japan, named Hayabusa, who's sort of like my all-time favorite wrestler. And I first became aware of him like 98-99 when I was doing some tape trading. So those are my three big ones: Sting, Macho Man, and Hayabusa.
Oh, great. Well, great. So then what then made you make the leap into doing it yourself?
So it is a long and sordid tale, so I'll try and be quick with it.
But we got time.
When I was a senior in high school, a friend of mine who I had met at a church retreat, and I had been, you know, we'd been hitting the weights really hard. We had tried out for the first two seasons of Tough Enough, like sent our VHS tapes in, and, you know, never really heard anything back. And at the time, the WWF, at the time, their minor league system, if you will, was in the Heartland Wrestling Association. So this friend of mine and myself had the applications filled out. We had sent our stuff in. We'd actually got our parents to agree. Basically, we would graduate high school and we'd move down there, and we would train to become professional wrestlers. And this was going to be our big shot. We're going to follow our dreams. And then 9/11 happened. And both me and I ended up joining the military. He joined the Army. I joined the Marines. And he never got into the business, but I did. I got a minuscule amount of training when I was in Okinawa. Another friend of mine, a fellow Marine, and I met some Japanese professional wrestlers. And they asked us if we wanted to learn. And really, they just wanted like crash test dummies. So they didn't really teach us anything. Uh-huh. They just beat us up. But when we rotated back to Hawaii where I was stationed, that's where I first went to wrestling school. And sort of one of the things in this business is if you always want to pay respects to whoever broke you into the business, but if they did you wrong, you don't want to mention them by name. So I won't mention my initial trainers by name, because they're not worth mentioning. But they did break me into the business, and they're no longer a part of the business for various reasons. Then I got out of the Marine Corps, moved back to Montana. I wrestled some on the West Coast, and it wasn't very good. So I was, you know, those guys are saying, hey, you need more training. And after about a year of being a civilian, I realized I had more to do in the military. So then I joined the Army, and I got stationed at Fort Drum. And I started wrestling there on the East Coast and got some more training. And then eventually got stationed at Fort Carson for the first time in 2010 with a company that sadly is no longer in business, but had a training facility right in Colorado Springs. It was right down the street from the base. So that's when my skills really increased, because I had a home wrestling promotion and I had a home place to train. So I was training 4 or 5 days a week. I was wrestling on a ton of shows. And so that's when it really, really clicked for me. So I had my first match in 2004, but I like to say the 6 years between that and 2010, when I came to Colorado, those were like almost nothing years, you know, but the bulk of my career has been since I moved to Colorado and was able to really hone my skills.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. So you just kind of, in that time period, you just were kind of doing a little bit off and on, and not as much as like you're doing like right now. You're doing a lot.
So in the early part of my career, I was more focused on matches and I was neglecting training. I wasn't training to be a wrestler and I wasn't studying the wrestling. I was just happy to be out there in front of the crowd and get my $5 or $20, hot dog and a handshake. Mm-hmm. Been really focused on it, and didn't take it seriously enough. And that's nobody's fault but my own. I mentioned I wasn't brought into the business the right way, which is something I try to prevent now with my own students. But that's not necessarily an excuse, because for about 6 years, I could get booked on bottom barrel shows and I was kind of happy with that. When I moved to Colorado and I saw the amazing promotions they had, I knew that if I wanted to do something in this business and make an impact in this state, I had to step up my game and actually be a wrestler.
Okay. Well, since we're kind of talking about that, I was going to kind of talk about that a little bit later, but let's talk about the wrestling school that you're a part of. How did that come about?
So Christopher Chavez Sr., who is the original owner of CSW, the late Chris Chavez.
Yes, I've interviewed him. Yeah.
Yeah. Had spoken with the owner of Empower, which is a martial arts studio, about potentially being a sponsor for CSW shows. And over a period of time, first through Chris, and then when he passed away, Jimbo Lucas took over the reins, about opening a wrestling school here. Like I said, when I first moved here in 2010, we had a promotion here in the Springs, ACW, and they had their own facility and really had some top quality talent here in the Springs. So we thought we needed a place, because there is a fair amount of us that live down here. And it's hard for us to drive up to Denver, where the other training facilities are, multiple times per week. It's expensive. It's hard to do with work. It's traffic's bad. So eventually the owner of Empower and Jimbo got together, and then they brought me in as a partner and assistant trainer. And we got it going. And now we have 6 students right now, with a couple more who are interested. It's not free, but it's much more affordable than what I paid to train. So, mm-hmm. It's a great deal. And you can check us out on Facebook, or you can hit me up on my Facebook page, Big Guns, Justin Andrews. You can just search for that. And and I can give anyone all the details. But yeah, we train 3 days a week, and so far our students have been doing pretty good.
Right. Any students that we should maybe keep an eye out for here in the near future?
It's like asking me who my favorite child is. So look out for all of them. The next Colorado Springs Wrestling show is on August 18th, and we're going to open the show with a student battle royal.
Oh.
So all the students are going to be in the ring. This is going to be their first time out in front of a crowd. It's going to be an over-the-top battle royal, and the winner gets a spot in the main event, Colorado Cash-In match. So big opportunity for them, but I will not predict who will win because I think they all have a shot.
Okay, well, fantastic. That sounds like fun. I've got to see that, definitely, personally. Okay, so let's talk about kind of the present. So what do you got going on now? You are currently the, if I'm correct in my thinking, you're currently the champion of the Iron Heels promotion, correct?
Yes.
And also Colorado Springs as well?
Yes. So okay. I'm the heavyweight champion in Colorado Springs Wrestling. And then Iron Hills Championship Wrestling down in Pueblo, they have two championships that are sort of equally on par with each other. They have a light heavyweight championship, which I obviously am not, and then a strong style championship. So I am currently the strong style champion down there, and then Cody Devine is their light heavyweight. But yeah, so those are the two belts I currently hold. And I know what you're going to ask. You're going to say, big guns, what's up with this Infinity Titles thing?
There you go.
And, it is, I mean, it's blown up on Twitter, it's blown up on Facebook. All the fans are latching onto it. And even the fans who hate me want to see me do this. It came to me, I've been a comic book fan for as long as I can read. And I remember when the original Infinity Gauntlet comic books came out, and they were so cool. So when the Infinity War movie came out, of course, I wanted to see it. And at that time, I was holding the two belts. I was holding the two belts I have right now. And I was thinking to myself, has anyone ever held three championships and three promotions at the same time? And then I started thinking, has anyone done four? And no one's done three. So obviously no one's done four. And like I said, I was watching the Infinity Wars movie, and I was like, dude, this is like my Infinity Gauntlet. I'm Thanos, and these are the Infinity titles. So I scoured some records. I talked to some people down at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame who keep records of stuff like this, and they say no. There has been people in the state of Colorado who've held three championships at one time, but that's usually like in one promotion, they'll be the tag team champion and the heavyweight champion, and then they'll hold a belt in some other promotion.
Right.
So I am looking to be the only one to ever do. No one's even tried it. No one's even attempted it because it's hard. I am trying to also gain the New Era 5280 championship and the Primos 303 championship. And I want to hold all four belts at one time. And I feel, not that I'm the most ambitious, not that I'm the most powerful, not that I'm the strongest, I'm just the first person to have the balls to do this. At first, it started like as a funny hashtag thing. And then I realized, you know what, I can do this. I've been with these promotions a long time. I've been around a long time. I just have to really focus and prove that I can do this and earn title shots. Earning the title shot is the hardest part. Once you get into that championship match, unless you get screwed over, which is what happened to me in New Era,
mm-hmm.
and once you're in that championship match, you're so hungry to win and to hold that prize, that championship belt. That's the easy part. But scratching your way up from the bottom to get into that position, that's the real challenge.
Right. So if this comes to come to be that you're going to hold the say four championships, you have any thoughts about some kind of apparatus that you can carry all these belts, some kind of pseudo gauntlet, and then maybe,
yeah,
you know, maybe like if it's around Halloween time, maybe even come up as come to the ring dressed up as Thanos or something?
I had considered making an actual Infinity belt, I'm a big wide guy, got broad shoulders, big back, but I don't think I can string four belts across my torso. I had even bigger belts that I could attach all four of them to, so they would hang down almost like the front of a hula skirt. That would be my Infinity belt. I'll work on getting that made once I achieve the victory.
Well, fantastic. That I'd love to see that. That would be very interesting, just like you said. So yeah, nobody's ever done it. Different promotions. So let's take just maybe a little step back. So in your wrestling career so far, do you have any favorite opponents that you've worked with, or even possibly tagged with any? Great brushes with fame, any of that kind of stuff, any kind of memorable moments?
I've got a lot of great ones. I've been very fortunate in my career. I have been in the ring with Daniel Bryan. I've been in the ring with Snitsky. I've been in the ring with, a fair amount of big stars, Demolition. Favorite opponents. I like to wrestle someone who is totally different from me. Someone that is totally unpredictable, total wild man. So in that regard, I have to say, well, there's three. There's three. One goes back to my East Coast days, and that's a guy by the name of Ole Tectonic, who was a German fellow. And then more recently, Chewy Martinez and Animal Sam. Those three guys were all just unpredictable, total wild men. I knew when I was going in, it would take a lot out of me, and I would not leave in the same condition I came in with, but that's what wrestling is. You really, really want to challenge yourself. Not that we enjoy the pain, but we don't mind it, And then tag team partners. I've had some great tag team partners over the years. On the East Coast, I tagged up this guy named Bulldog James Dillon. Great dude. We had a good run in World Professional Wrestling there in Pennsylvania. But my all-time favorite has to be my current tag team partner, who's Hard Knocks Jimbo Lucas. We teamed together as a Military Muscle Connection. We main evented the Hall of Fame show down at the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame in Texas this year. On September 2nd, we're going to be in Eagle, Colorado, and we're going to be facing the Canadian Pitbulls. He and I we just gel together. We're two smash mouth, take no crap kind of guys who just want to punch you in the face. Now, that being said, I've had success as part of the Military Muscle Connection and get along real well, but as a sentimental favorite, and you were there for this, my tag team partner, all-time favorite, one night only, has to be Shark Boy.
He's my favorite TNA wrestler, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so he and I actually go way back to 2007. It was the first time we were doing shows together in Wenatchee, Washington, when he was on TNA and he was getting beat up all the time, and he was always in the neck brace and all that. This was around that time. And he would be getting beat up on all the independent shows too. So that's where I got to know him, is I was one of the guys who would run in and save him all the time.
Well, yeah, that's fantastic. So, my next question is, and this may be, I know I told you before we started, no controversial questions, but something I talked to with when I interviewed Chris Chavez Senior, originally, about last year sometime. We were talking about heels versus faces, and I thought the very interesting thing was that we had a couple, there's a couple of wrestlers in Denver. When they go down to Colorado Springs, they became heels, and then some of the heels that people that were heels down in Colorado Springs were faces, and vice versa. You seem to be kind of maybe doing that, but just on other side, when you're like, for example, like in Denver, and you there are a couple of promotions you wrestle in Denver, you kind of switch face and heel. How is that trying to keep that all straight? Because you do work
For
both.
me, it's a little easier than some people. So I'm not a character. I am who I am. And the crowd either likes it or they don't. And really, right now, the only place that I get some grief is in New Era. Part of that is because of how ambitious I am, I'm always there, I'm very much in the face. And we wrestle, usually they wrestle at a place called the Buffalo Rose and Gold. That's currently being remodeled. So right now we're wrestling in Mile High Comics, which is the largest comic store in the world. And all those fans are a bunch of dorks. Like they can't hold up to me. So when they see me come out in my tan, I've got a great body, I've got a great look, I've got the attitude, like I'm a champion, because that's what you've got to have. You got to have that hunger. And most normal people look at that and they say, man, that guy's great. That's an example. Kids stay in school, work out each year, you follow your proper nutrition, and this can be you. But when it's a bunch of nerds, they're like, man, that's the guy who shoved me in the lockers. How can you blame them when I come out there looking like I'm the guy that tormented them every day in high school? So, some of them are just jealous of my success. What can you do?
Ah, yeah. I you make a good point. It's very true. I could see that. So, speaking of New Era, you have a the New Era has a big anniversary show coming up here in the next couple of days, and you have a big match as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, huge, huge show. So it's the 7th anniversary show. That's 7 years that New Era has been in business, and they haven't missed a show that whole time. There has been like a couple occasions where there's a month break, but those were planned. So they have not missed a show that whole time, which is in independent wrestling. I mean, it's an amazing achievement, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. And I've been talking about it on social media for the last a week or so. My very first victory in New Era was in 2011. It was against a guy named Eric Lancaster. It was in October of 2011. And I was currently on my third deployment to Afghanistan. And when you're deployed overseas for more than a year, you get to come home for some R&R leave, rest and relaxation leave, which was 10 days. And there was two promotions that were running shows while I was in town. And keep in mind, I had just spent 6 months in Afghanistan at that point. I had ring rust. I wasn't, they were taking a big risk. So that other promotion said no, and New Era said, we'd love to have you come down, we'll get a match for you. And I did. And that meant a lot to me. It really did, that they were willing to do that, and they saw that potential in me 7 years ago. So here we are 7 years later, ready to kick butt again. And a little backstory, several months ago, I did get a title shot against Bruce Rogers, who's the 5280 champion in New Era. And Bruce and I go back a long ways too, all the way back to 2011, 2010. We've known each other a long time. Great dude, fantastic competitor. I hit him with my finishing move, the Taliban Killer, covered him for the pin. Referee, senior referee at the time, Mike Strino, counted the three, declared me the winner. For some reason, and restarted the match. Picked up on this and started calling it the Mile High Screw Job, because it's in the Mile High City and it was in Mile High Comics, and I was screwed. The referee declared me the winner, the new champion, then changed his mind, reversed his decision, said Bruce Rogers' foot was on the rope. Maybe Bruce on the rope, I don't know. I was too busy pinning him to know. So that stuck in my craw a little bit. And then I didn't get a rematch. So that stuck in my craw even more. And then some little punk named BZB, some little skinny dude who weighs about 100 pounds, steals the freaking belt, steals the 5280 championship belt. So now you have Bruce Rogers, the paper champion, myself, the uncrowned champion, and now this thieving little punk running around claiming he's the champion. Meanwhile, Delta Jr., one of, if not the top luchador in the state, wins a number one contender match. So what are you going to do to make all of this make sense? Well, New Era Committee and Miss Alexis Vane got together and they said, we're going to have ourselves a little four-way. So this will be for the undisputed 5280 championship. Paper champion Bruce Rogers versus uncrowned champion myself, Big Guns Justin Andrews, versus number one contender Delta Jr. versus BZB, who weaseled his way in by stealing. I don't recommend it, kids. It usually doesn't. But in this case, it did. So that's going to be... it's going to be a big matchup. It's a huge trial for me. And this is my chance to avenge the Mile High Screwjob. If I don't walk away victorious here, I may never get another 5280 championship again. You know, certainly not for a while. I won't get that shot. So I have to capitalize on it. Now, I'm used to multi-man matches. I've defended the Iron Hills title in multi-man matches. I've defended the CSW title several times in multi-man matches. It's not that big of a deal for me, but I'm going to have a lot of friends and family there. The crowd's going to be huge. The nerves are going to be there. And this is my chance. This is my chance to collect that third of the four Infinity titles. And if I mess this up, I might as well give up the whole quest. You know, I may as well hang my head in defeat and throw my boots over a telephone wire. So I'm training harder than I've ever trained. 2 days a week in the gym. Or sorry, 3 days a week training in the wrestling gym, and then two times per day in the actual gym. Mm-hmm. I'm dedicating myself to this. So we'll see. BZB is just sneaky enough to be a threat despite his body size. Delta Jr. is so fast and can pin you in so many different ways. He can pin you in two different languages. And Rogers, he's been a talented competitor for years. He is the original champion in this sordid tale of ours for a reason. He legitimately won that 5280 championship. And when the referee reversed his decision and restarted the match, he did lock me in a submission hold. He took me by surprise, and he shouldn't. You know, the match should have already started, but that's either here or there. I've proven I can beat him, but he's also proven he can beat me. So, and that's just one of the many matches that's on the card. I could go on for, you know, 20 minutes about my match. I mean, we also have the Night Terrors going up against the Radical Athletes from the Dot Mob. Rob Risen versus Logan Austin. That match is going to be incredible. Bronx is coming back. The main event is Damian Payne versus Cumberbatch for the New Era Championship. I mean, and control of New Era. It's going to be nuts. And it's in a giant comic book store. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. There's going to be all kinds of elements just colliding there.
Exactly.
Well, I wish you luck in your match, at least. You know, and one thing else I was going to add, you know, Bruce Rogers just came back from injury, so he's not going to want to give up that title that easily.
Exactly. I would say I can just target his knee, but he spent so much time on the shelf after having his knee repaired. I think it's better than his non-injured knee. So he definitely has something to prove. And hey, if he can take down three other guys and retain his championship, I will gladly shake his hand, declare him the real champion, and then I'll probably hit him with the Taliban killer for humiliating me. But I will allow him to take that title of champion if he can get through the three of us.
All right. So what about the future? Do you have any kind of dream matches, anybody that you'd like to fight against, or anything that you got your eye on for your for the future, your career and everything? Dream opponents?
So short term, I said this at the beginning of the year, way back in January. We're kind of running out of time in the year, but I really want to wrestle Disco Inferno, and I really want to wrestle Buff Bagwell. Mm-hmm. And I want to do it this year because they are getting a little long in the tooth, and they're veterans of this industry. I don't know how many more matches they have in them. Another short-term match is I want to wrestle Jerome Daniels from the Dot Mob, Mr. No Flaw, Pim Griffey Jr. He's got a million nicknames. Now, I wrestled him a few months ago at an event that Dot Mob held down in Dallas, Texas, called the Cookout 2, And Jerome beat me. So I want him to come onto my turf because I was down on his turf. And I want to go one-on-one, and we'll see. We'll see if I can walk away the victor. Long-term, man, there's a lot of great wrestlers out there. We have a ton of great wrestlers here in Colorado. It would be an exercise in futility to try and name just one that I want to work with in the future. But obviously, we all want to make it to the dance. We all want to make it to the WWE. So I'm still a young man. I can still headline WrestleMania. If you're listening, Vince.
All right. So tell the listeners about, so besides New Era, where else can, what other promotions can they find you? Plug your social media. So if they want to look you up online, all that kind of stuff like that.
I wrestle for just about every single promotion in Colorado. So I'll give you some upcoming dates. Obviously, this Saturday, which is August 11th, I'll be at Mile High Comics for New Era. It's a 7th anniversary show. Then the next weekend, down in Colorado Springs at the Westside Community Center, is Colorado Cash In 2. Then I have a little bit of a break. September 1st, at the Watering Bowl in Denver, I'll be wrestling for Primo's Pro Wrestling in their event Unfiltered. And the very next day at the Eagle County Fairgrounds for Bad Boys of Wrestling, where myself and Jimbo Lucas are going to tag up and take on the Canadian Pitbulls. The weekend after that, we're back at Mile High Comics for New Era Wrestling. And then the weekend after that, we're back down in the Springs for Colorado Springs Wrestling. I'm hoping to pick up some other dates between now and then. I'd like to get back down to Texas, work down there for a few promotions. Have been contacting me, maybe Utah, but that's my current schedule for the next few weeks. I do wrestle a lot. They don't call me hashtag Mr. Colorado Wrestling for nothing. I work, you know, IWC Lucha Libre. I work for Lucha Libre and Laughs occasionally. Yeah, Iron Hills Championship Wrestling down in Pueblo. I wrestle for whoever will have me. But if you really want to keep up to date, you can follow me on Facebook. Just look up at Big Guns / Justin Andrews, or you can find me on Twitter at Wrestle Big Guns. And then I do have a website, www.suplexparty.com. It's very difficult for me to update it because I am a super busy guy, but I try and keep that up to date as well. So that's all my media. Check them out. You can see a lot of my matches on suplexparty.com. See what I'm all about.
Right. Fantastic. Oh, great. Well, Big Guns, I really appreciate you coming on to the podcast, letting us, everybody, all the listeners, know about you and know about your wrestling and all that stuff like that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Okay. All right. Thanks. We'll talk at you later. Okay.
All right.
Once again, a big thank you to Big Guns Justin Andrews, the host of the Suplex Party, for coming on to the podcast. Everybody, check him out on all his social media. And if you're anywhere close to the Denver, Colorado area, the Colorado Springs, Colorado area, Pueblo, Colorado area, come check him out in person. Watch him wrestle. It is an entertaining show, well worth more than the price of admission. Trust me. So if you guys have enjoyed The View from the Fourth Row, check out all the other great podcasts that are found on here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. And those are including, but not limited to, Lou Chat, The Wrestling Cheers, 450 Podcast, Legends on Siren Radio, The Your Vision Showcase, All Beer Inside, Old School at the Movies, Tim and Tom, and Chill, and so much more. So once again, thank you all for listening. That is my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row.